I wonder what you got out of that reading. I hope you got something. Rory, he's from New Zealand. As soon as the word the fellowship, he went into a different trajectory of the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Rings. So, you know, the Word of God can take you in different directions. I don't think that's probably what Luke had in mind when he wrote it. But now, can I just ask a bit of a personal question, perhaps? How many of you have shaved this morning? Oh, more ladies putting their hands up there than I expected, actually. Well, for those of you who do shave, just a quick question then. How did you learn to shave? This is sort of relevant, sort of. My own experience was I sort of, as a 5 or 6-year-old, wandered into the bathroom and saw my dad. And he was just, and I thought, what on earth is he doing? And it was, he didn't have a safety razor, it's a long time ago. And I thought, this, I'm going to stick around and see what happens next. This looks really fun. And then I got used to, I saw, and he pulled these funny faces. That's not him. This is someone looking way cooler than my dad first thing in the morning. But I just sort of watched him. I didn't know I was learning something. I was just watching, but it turned out I was actually learning. I just saw what he did, and I always sort of remembered it. And then many, many years later, I was a late developer, I was probably in my 50s, the time came, my voice broke and everything, and I had to learn how to shave. And I just automatically did what my dad did. And to this day, and this is a little bit personal, you know, I start up here. And I work down the right-hand side. And then I go over to the left and come down. And then I do under there, and then this. And finally, I do the tash. Now, I'm not telling you that that's the best way. It is the best way. But no, there are many different ways you could shave. That's just the way I've learned to do it. And we're not going to do a sort of selection of ways you could do it. But it's sort of what you might call a habit. Habits are things that we learn, usually from other people. I think, oh, right. And we take it into ourselves. In fact, you could call it a tradition. It's quite a good tradition for me because I have so rarely had extreme incidents with the razor needing to go to casualty. I've worked out how to do it, and so it works for me. It's not the only or the best, but it works for me. That's sort of how things happen in church. We have traditions. We very rarely make them up. We've tend to have taken them on board. We've seen what others have done, and then it becomes familiar and think, actually, that works. I don't hurt myself too much, hopefully. And I've taken it on board without knowing it even. And it teaches me a big life lesson. The most important things in life tend to be caught, not taught. It's the sort of environment around us. We don't even know we're learning it, but it goes deeply into us. It's caught. I used to be a teacher when I had a proper job, and I remember feeling I was facilitating in some way, but most of the learning was probably going on as children talk to each other. That's where, how do they learn? It's caught, not taught. When I meet families for baptisms, I always say, and it's part of the baptism service, I hope you will come to church. It's part of the promises they'll do that. But if I had to make a choice between them coming for 1 hour on a Sunday out of 168 per week, I'd much rather they stay at home but pray every day with their children. Not just for them, but with them. So in our family, we tended to pray in the morning, after breakfast, before school, a very short prayer, like, help! Seemed to do it, really. And then before every meal, I found the longer I went on in the prayer, the more the sausages were nicked from my plate, so I kept it short. It's nothing too epic. Bless the potatoes. It was more, thank you, God. We're so grateful for the gift of food. And then every night as I was tucking my little children into bed in their late teens, and we'd sort of review the day, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we'd turn it into a prayer. Thank you. Sorry. Help. I was so grateful. And that's how I think they learned to pray. And that's how I learned to pray. What are the habits that are in your life? Jesus was like that with discipleship. That's what discipleship is who you hang about with. Mark 3:14, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out. There's travel in two directions, but the first direction is Jesus says, follow me. So it's to be with him, to pick up his habits. They're not sent out till they've been with him to pick up the habits. Jesus was asked once, what's the most important commandment? And he didn't waver, he went straight in. It's completely obvious. And he picked on Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is called the Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. If you can see it, you might like to join in. Let's say it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And now the next bit is really interesting. Sorry, the last bit was as well, but let's keep going. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. It seems to me a wonderful thing that Judaism, the practice of religion of the Jews, for 2,000 years, it turns out they didn't even need a temple because it was a domestic religion. They didn't need to go to the synagogue or to the temple. They prayed, they worshipped God, they found out about God when they were, well, at home, when they're driving to school, when you're going along the road, first thing in the morning, last thing at night. It's a domestic religion. And that's what I'd love to be true of people at St. Francis, that we know our faith isn't a Sunday thing. It's a whole life discipleship. We're always chatting about it. Some people don't like the word tradition, but it's just the habits we've picked up from others. And some are great, and some are pernicious. So we need to be intentional. Think, well, what are the habits we want to develop? But there are some habits that aren't just personal preference. They are absolutely essential. They're deep lifelong values that we'd never want to change. There's some things that I think if we neglect here, we shouldn't really be called a church. You know, if we don't do some things, we're not really church. And so we're going to spend the next 10 weeks looking at this amazing little passage in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47. We're going to read it every Sunday. We might all know it off by heart. We might read it in different versions, perhaps in a bit of Greek, see how that pans out, but probably not. But they pick on, there's 10 things here. They devoted themselves to teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer. They held everything in common. They gave to anyone who had need. They ate together. They had glad and sincere hearts. They were praising God, and the Lord added to their number daily. There's something deeply attractive about the habits of this is the first ever Christian church. It's only invented in chapter 2 at the beginning. And so there's 10 holy habits, biblical teaching. So next week, Matt's going to be thinking about and trying to explain, how do we engage with the Bible? What is biblical teaching? It's not biblical teaching to have a Bible. It's about how does it get in here, and how do we live it out? Fellowship. What's the difference between friendship and fellowship? Perhaps we'll think about that. Breaking bread. We had a communion this morning. Prayer. We're going to pray in a moment. There's giving. Can you see that there's stains on the ceiling? It turns out we're going to have to put on a new roof. And it's already apart from the money. So next week there's going to be a leaflet given out and it will be dressed up in different ways. I'm going to write it really well, but it will be basically saying, can we have your money? Because part of discipleship is that we give God so that, not as a sort of fashion statement, but because we don't want to leak and it's going to be expensive. So we're going to invite everyone. So that's part of discipleship. Service, how do we help other people? How do we serve them? Do we eat together? Little story that's just popped into my mind. I had a friend that I was longing to share faith with him when I was a teacher. And I was always, every sort of Friday, say, will you come to church this week? And he'd always say yes. I liked him really well. We were in a band together at times. But he never came. And Monday morning, I was like, oh, what happened? Oh. And I was praying about this for ages. And then eventually, as I was praying, God said to me, as I understand God speaking, why do you always invite him to my house, but never to yours? I thought, that's a good point. Actually, am I willing to share my life? And eating together, I think, is the best thing, really, for that, or one of the best things. Wonder who you've recently invited and sharing life with. It's a great thing to do. I hope home groups might grow in that. Gladness and generosity, worship, and then making more disciples. And I know we've spent lots of time. Now, there's nothing there that's rocket science or difficult. It's not difficult to understand. It's more difficult to live it out. Now, these thoughts came from Acts 2, but there's also a book called Holy Habits, Andrew Roberts. And I heard him speaking this year. I thought, that's so easy, and yet these would be great habits. If people knew, if you go to St. Francis, this is what you have. These are the values that you get there. You don't have to read the book, but you might find it helpful. I know some of the home groups are also doing that. And my hope is that as we practice these things, we'll be like this. How many of you like rock? Julie had the first hand up there. Okay, you can collect it afterwards if you want. I've also got, I did wash my hands first, pre-chopped up bits of rock here for those who carers or parents allow. It may not be good for your teeth. I'm not saying it's virtuous. I'm just saying it's here. What I like about this, we used to live in Poole, and this beautiful piece of Poole rock, other rocks are available, it says at the end, Poole rock. But wherever you chop it, you always see Poole rock is written there. I don't know how they do it. I guess it's some kind of extruding. But what do I know? So that seems to be very clever. I wonder if our lives are like that. Wherever we're chopped up, there the values are found. It was the feast day of John Bunyan a couple of days ago. And his opponents, he was imprisoned for his faith. And his opponents said, wherever you cut him, he bleeds Bible. They meant it as an insult, but I think he just drove him around the bend. Whatever they did to him, it was always the values of the kingdom. The Bible is how he responded. When I'm hurt, when someone cuts in on me on the road, it's not always biblical truths that come from me. It turns out, you know, it might say follower of Jesus at that end, but somehow it gets lost in translation through my life. So my hope is as we develop holy, godly habits, we'll be consistent. And if you'd like to have one of those pieces of... Do you think they should be saved till later or given out now? I'll let Danny's in charge, so you decide. But I hope we're going to have the words of Jesus, the Beatitudes, the beautiful attitudes, the values of the kingdom of God. It's in my mind also to say, I've got some great habits. I've got some habits that are less good. And it's not impossible others have. So if you feel, actually, there's habits I'd really like to be free from, I invite you today to, you know, you can come and receive prayer. Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? That would be Jesus, wouldn't it? And it's so easy to pray and break darkness in our lives and over the lives of others. And one of the benefits of being in a small group is accountability. Who will we say, would you ask me about this? Would you keep me on a short account so I don't get lost again? So, Father, thank you for the holy habits that we see in Acts, and I pray that you're going to build them into our lives in the weeks ahead, and that people will see a consistency in our lives here, and we believe that will be so deeply attractive in our culture that is so lost and people so hurting, because they'll find love and acceptance and welcome at St. Francis. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.